Hey, y'all, and welcome to the Bloom Wildly Live Simply podcast. My name is Morgan Bartel, and I'm so glad that you're here. On this podcast, I share my passion for all things motherhood, marriage, homemaking, homeschooling, and biblical womanhood, and all the things in between. My prayer is that when you listen to this podcast, that you feel encouraged and inspired to cultivate your own heart and home to pursue the goodness of God in all that you do. It is Easter week, you guys, and last week we talked all about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. So if you have not listened to that episode, I encourage you to do so before listening to this week's episode. We are going to be talking all about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're going to pick up where we left off after Jesus was placed in the borrowed tomb, and we are now awaiting the resurrection of our Savior. The resurrection is the very foundation of our faith as Christians. Paul wrote that without the resurrection, Christianity would be meaningless. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. But the resurrection is evidence that Jesus is God and that God accepted Christ's sacrifice for our sins upon that cross. I get so excited whenever I start looking into this and sharing this with you guys, because there are so many people who do not believe in the validity of Christ's crucifixion and Christ's resurrection. But when you look into it, when you dig into it, you see so much proof and evidence. Yes, I'm going to be citing a ton of scripture for you guys, but I want you to keep in mind that while that is going to be happening, we're going to be looking at cultural context today. We're going to be looking at evidence from archaeology, from different people who were not open professing Christians of their time. We're going to look into this, and we are going to celebrate the resurrection of our Savior together today. The tomb that Christ was in was actually protected in three documented ways, which would ensure that the disciples of Christ would not steal his body. They gave so much attention to this so that it could not be claimed that the resurrection was a hoax. And the Bible goes into great detail to show us the facts surrounding the resurrection of Jesus Christ. First, we have the large stone that was set in front of the tomb. And this can be seen in Matthew 27, verse 66. A stone used for this purpose would have weighed between 1 and 2 tons. That is the weight of a car, y'all. That is the weight of a car. So a small number of men could have put it in place, because typically in front of the tomb was sloped, but removing it would not have been easy for a few men because the stone would have had to roll uphill. That makes it pretty impossible for just a few men to secretly roll the stone away without alerting the Roman guards that were at Christ's tomb. Second, a Roman guard was sent to stand guard and protect the tomb. This can be seen in Matthew 27, verse 64 through 66. Now, the punishment for these Roman guards, if they were to fall asleep or walk away from their duty or their post, was the death penalty. That is a steep price, y'all. It does not make sense to me, and I doubt it makes sense to you, that they would have simply just fallen asleep without the divine intervention. Like, come on, guys. I really doubt that they're going to sit there and go, I'm going to take a nap right quick. You got this? Absolutely not. The third thing that was done to protect the tomb was there was a Roman seal placed upon it. In fact, if someone were to break that seal, the punishment would have been death by crucifixion. No one would want to be found guilty of that, especially after witnessing what Jesus Christ just went through at this point. Though we can see the boldness of the disciples in the book of Acts, they were not so bold at this point. I bet they had their doubts. I bet they were grieving. They had so many questions and unanswered things that they just had going through their heads. So we need to remember that these men and women that were followers of Christ were in pain. They had lost their Messiah. They were fighting and wrestling with their faith. I guarantee it. While some may have had stronger faith than others, I know that there was questions. Because I know that when we have gone through hard times, we have questions. It is the human condition. Roman guards took their jobs very seriously, and that tomb was covered by a large stone, which was almost impossible to move, you guys. So how could it be said that it was a hoax or that it was manipulated in any form or fashion? And the fact that any of it could have been done without the detection of Roman soldiers is just, it's far-fetched at best. We see that in Matthew 27, verses 62 through chapter 28, verse 15. We see it again in Mark 16, verses 1 through 6. Again in Luke 24, verses 1 through 8. And again in John 20, verses 1 through 10. We see it in all four Gospels, y'all. What happened when Christ was in the tomb? The Gospel of John tells us that there was a napkin that would have been placed over the face of Jesus, and it was not thrown aside like the other grave clothes. The Bible takes an entire verse to tell us what happened to that napkin. John 20, verse 7. The wrapping that had been on his head was not lying with the linen cloths, but was folded up in a separate place by itself. Why is that significant? This part gets me so excited, you guys. A folded napkin had to do with the master and the servant, and everybody in the Jewish culture knew this tradition. And Jesus Christ, growing up as a Jewish boy, would have been very well versed with this. When a servant had set the table for dinner for the master, he made sure that it was exactly the way the master wanted it. Every detail as to how the master would have requested. The table would have been furnished beautifully. Things would have been done with excellence. And then the servant would just wait out of sight until the master had finished dining or eating. Now, there are two things that would happen in this instance. When the master was finished eating, he would rise from the table, wipe off his mouth and fingers, clean up whatever he needed to clean up, and then wad up the napkin and toss it onto the table. This would have been the clear picture for the servant to step in, knowing that that wadded napkin meant, I'm finished. But if the master got up from the table and folded his napkin and laid it beside his plate, the servant would not touch the table, because that folded napkin meant, I am coming back. Christ left a folded napkin in the tomb. I'm coming back. Guys, how can we not just revel in that glory? Like, when I talk about the napkin, I know it's a napkin, for goodness sake. Who would have ever thought that it would get me so passionate and that it would just break my heart for the fact that he was so kind to leave us that symbol. I am coming back. I want to talk about some of the archaeological proof of this. Josephus, in the Antiquities of the Jews, which would have been circa 93 and 94 AD, includes two passages about Jesus. This one I'm going to botch for sure. The Testimonium Flavianum, yeah, I know I said that, book 18, chapter 3, specifically mentions Jesus Christ's execution and resurrection. It states, about this time there lived Jesus, a wise man, if indeed one ought to call him a man. For he was one who performed surprising deeds and was a teacher of such people as accept the truth gladly. He won over many Jews and many of the Greeks. He was the Christ. And when upon the accusation of the principal men among us, Pilate had condemned him to a cross, those who had first come to love him did not cease. He appeared to them, spending a third day restored to life. For the prophets of God had foretold these things and a thousand other marvels about him. And the tribe of the Christians, so called after him, has still to this day not disappeared. That right there, the fact that there are different historical and archaeological references that touch to this very topic and call our Savior Christ, like that, we need to be sharing that with everybody we know that's having any kind of problems with skepticism or analysis paralysis, because these are the facts. I want to go back to the Passover. I know we're kind of bouncing around, but you guys, when I tell you this just excites me so much, I'm having a hard time just staying on one topic here. But during the Passover, the lambs would have been sacrificed on the 14th day of the month. And then 2 days later, the Jews celebrated the Feast of First Fruits. In the Jewish calendar, a new day begins when the sun sets, not when it rises. This means that when Jesus arose on the third day, it would have been the same day as the first fruits. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 through 23. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. The resurrection of Jesus Christ proves victory over sin and over death. And those who believe in him are redeemed. And we have also been resurrected. We have been resurrected in spirit. We have been transformed and renewed. And we will be resurrected upon Christ's return. Remember, I'm coming back. Daniel 12:2, multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. The empty tomb was not disputed by anyone living during that time, not even the religious leaders who hated Jesus. You can see that in Matthew 28, verses 11 through 15. Robbing of that grave, robbing of the tomb in which Christ's body lay, would have been impossible with those Roman guards upon the threat of death, and the time it would have taken to unwrap and leave 100 pounds of grave clothes in the tomb. You can see that in John 20, verses 6 through 7. That stone provided absolutely no leverage to move. And you know what's crazy? You know what's crazy? It was the testimony of a woman that said, "He is risen." It doesn't make sense. A woman's testimony at that time was inadmissible in a court. Yet women were chosen to first spread the news that Jesus is alive. Luke 24:10, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them were telling the apostles these things. It would have been more culturally sound for the disciples to have claimed first witness. That would have made it more believable. Yet the Lord chose to be countercultural. But there is something about the fact that he gave honor and he gave dignity and opportunity to women in a time where they were severely oppressed. There are 500 witness accounts that saw Jesus within a period of 40 days after he died. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. The resurrection proved that Jesus was telling the truth. God would have not accepted or resurrected a liar or a sinner. He resurrected the spotless Lamb of God, the Son of God. Jesus was who he said he was. Jesus is who he said he was. He's the Son of God, the Messiah, the way, the truth, and the life. Matthew 17:5. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." John 14:6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It is not some made-up hoax. The resurrection proved the authority of Christ. It proves the authority that Jesus has to forgive us of our sins. And it shows that God not only accepted Jesus' sacrifice and payment for our sin, but that he declared Jesus victorious when he raised him up from the dead. Jesus fulfilled more than 300 prophecies written 450 plus years before he was even born. The odds of that mathematically happening with one person fulfilling that many prophecies, it's just unheard of, you guys. Jesus fulfilled each prophecy with 100% accuracy. And all were announced and historically documented more than 450 years before he ever even walked the earth. Jesus, our Messiah, suffered and died, making atonement for our sin with his blood, and through Jesus alone, those who believe are reconciled with God and have eternal life. Through every single fulfillment of every single one of those prophecies, It is just going to blow your mind. I encourage you to look up Prophecies Fulfilled in the Life, Ministry, and Resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you look that up, get your Bible out, get a warm blanket, get a drink, because you are going to dive down a deep rabbit hole, and it is rich. I encourage you to take time to do that this week. Like the Bible says, Jesus appeared to more than 500 different eyewitnesses, 1 Corinthians 15:6, in various settings. He appeared on at least 10 occasions during the 40 days after his resurrection, and all of those facts can be seen in all four Gospels. It can be seen in Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10, and again in Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20, Mark 16, verses 9 through 12, and Mark 16, verses 14 through 19, Luke 24, verses 34 through 52, John 20, verses 18 through 28, and again in John 21, verses 1 through 23. And then we can see that in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 4 through 7. Those are not all written by the same person. That is just amazing to me. Christ's resurrection was the very topic of Peter's first sermon during Pentecost. You see that in Acts 2, verses 22 through 40. His resurrection was addressed at the temple and then before the very Jewish Sanhedrin that hung him on that cross. Everywhere the disciples went, they preached the resurrection of Jesus. Look at Acts 4:33 and then Acts 4:2. You'll see it right there. The Jewish people even proclaimed that Jesus, a man, was God. We're talking about a culture where the church should have never even started, you guys. Jews are monotheistic. The belief that there's only one God. You can see that in Deuteronomy 6:4. Yet they were proclaiming Christ, a man, was also God. Salvation through the resurrection came to 3,000 people when Peter preached in Jerusalem. Acts 2:41. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And the number of Christians just continued to grow. Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. We're talking 2,000 more became believers just within days, you guys. Acts 4, verse 4, but many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. Oh my gosh, like that just gets me so excited, because just through the testimony of Christ, we see souls being saved. Like, and we can still do that to this day, you guys. Christ's resurrection happened on the first day of the week. Matthew 28, verse 1. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. It's no coincidence that Christians use Sundays as our primary day of worship. The last physical appearance of Jesus Christ was to the Apostle Paul. So you may recall Paul had a little bit of a shady history. He was previously known as Saul, and he was present at the disciple Stephen's stoning. Acts 8:1, and Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Okay, another fun archaeological reference. The two things that stood out to me the most when I was preparing for this episode that I've kind of saved to talk about here towards the end are the Nazareth inscription and then the testimony of women. Now, the Nazareth inscription, or the Nazareth decree, is a marble tablet inscribed in Greek with an edict from an unnamed Caesar ordering the capital punishment for anyone caught disturbing graves or tombs. It is dated to the first half of the first century AD, and its provenance is unknown, but a French collector actually acquired the stone from Nazareth, and it is now actually in one of the collections at the Louvre. But the Nazareth inscription points to Rome's concerns about the upheaval caused by Jesus's resurrection in the first century. There is actual physical proof that Rome had concerns about what was happening after Christ's resurrection.
Because once the Lord was resurrected, the church came alive. The word spread. It was celebrated. It was one of those every single believer was preaching and just testifying and evangelizing. That right there, like the Bible nerd in me loves facts like that. But I want to touch on the testimony of women. I know we briefly did, but the testimony of a woman would not have been accepted in court in the first century in Israel. If someone were to create a hoax, were to fluff up a story or fabricate the account of Jesus appearing to many people after his death, the choice of a woman being the first to see him would have been a very strange decision. And honestly, it would have only served to reduce the credibility. But still, Christ chose us all because he died for us all. We have the ability to preach and teach and evangelize and testify of the goodness of God and tell the world and shout it from the mountaintops and say it in the pits to anybody and everybody that Christ came and died for each of us so that we might be saved from our sins and spend eternity with him. These are truths that are the very foundation of our Christian faith, much like Paul states. The Easter celebration is just a time for us to put a megaphone on the most beautiful story in the Bible. I said this was a bittersweet account in last week's episode, and it is, because through the pain and agony that Christ went through came the very foundation of our faith. It's just so, because of Christ's death and resurrection, we can say our sins are forgiven and we are right with God. We can say our salvation and our relationship with God are secure. We are free from sin. We can live a life of abundance as a co-heir with Christ. And we do not have to fear death because we know that we have eternal life in Jesus Christ. When Jesus gave up his spirit, he didn't say, "I am finished." He said, "It is finished." Christ was just getting started, you guys. I hope you guys have a wonderful Easter week. I hope you find yourselves celebrating the resurrection of our Lord, Savior, and King. Find a church to plug into. Visit a new one if you don't have a home church. But please gather. Please be with other believers. It is one of the most beautiful times of the year to spend in the body of Christ celebrating what Jesus Christ came and did for us. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Bloom Wildly Live Simply podcast. Again, my name is Morgan Bartell, and I want to invite you to join me over on my socials. You can find me over on Instagram at Morgan Bartell. And if you're looking for a good weekly devotional, I invite you to visit bloomwildlylivesimply.com to sign up for my weekly Devo. You will receive a 10-minute or less devotional sent straight to your inbox every single Thursday morning. Again, thank you guys so much for listening. I'll talk to you guys next week.